This recording, Arkansas 13, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma, Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Okay, so I've lived in Fayetteville most of my life, which is a college town. And sometimes you don't realize how different a college town can be until you get outside of it. And this was about 5 years ago. So I was about 40, and I went with two friends, one that was about 5 years younger than me and one that was about 5 years older than me. And as you know, Hot Springs is really close to Hot Springs Village, which is a retirement community. There's a lot of, you know, old white guys who own boats. And that night, we went to the Ohio Club to, you know, kick up our heels a little bit. And so we're there, and there were people of a variety of ages there, from, you know, look like early 20s all the way up to, obviously, retirees. And early in the evening, some of the young girls got out there and were twerking a little bit, and then they, I guess, got tired and left. And the dance floor was empty, but the band was really rocking. And at one point, they finally started playing a song that me and my friends were like, we gotta get on the dance floor. So we jumped up and started dancing. And immediately, we were surrounded by all these old guys in their 60s. And I mean, it was so weird. We were like the hot young things. We didn't have to buy a drink the whole rest of the night. And it just gave me that contrast of like being in Fayetteville and being 40, that I'd kind of become really invisible, which I didn't even notice because I don't really care. I'm not like trying to get any attention, but the fact that it was such a different response in Hot Springs with these older gentlemen than it would be here in Fayetteville with, you know, college age men, that really kind of opened my eyes to just how much of a college town Fayetteville really is.